flying between here and L.A.
Does anybody ever mind? Would anybody like to tell this man what Larry Julian said? Somebody tell him.
Well, isn't there a little company doing some research on that down in Long Beach area or someplace that he happens to be connected with and knows about or tied into?
We call it the four-poster?
Well, the one I'm thinking of is one that was designed by Bell Helicopter in Fort Worth, and I believe in conjunction with Boeing. Boeing and Bell have gone together on the thing, and what it is it has a four-bladed rotor system on each wing that lifts the aircraft vertically to get started, and then as it transitions into forward flight, the lifting capability goes on to the fixed wing of the airplane, and it's propelled then by the rotor system.
You will have your props, if you will. Let me see if I can speak your Earth language. You will have your props. They will be flexible. This is a good word. Flexible? No. You can put them in thrust position to move you forward,
right,
for instance, or you can turn the propellers upward and they act as
propulsion forward.
The rotor.
Yeah, lifting.
The lifting.
You turn from a rotor, let's say, of lifting into a propeller for propelling forward.
Yes. It can be taken farther than that. And there is a little company trying to do this, and I would like Overly for you to put into your mind how he can get in touch with Larry Julian. There's no reason, number one, you can't have a factory for that here. I don't want it tangled up with the factory with Northrop. So you can do two things. You can develop them and you can utilize them. And right now they're trying to get them all hooked up in the military. Let's keep it away from there. Let's try something for civilians.
Looks like Gorbachev has got that same idea. Sounds to me like he's trimming back his military expenditures and going to turn that into luxuries, let us say, for his people. Is that true, or is that just
PR? No, there will be every effort made for that, in all honesty and integrity. And let us just hope we can keep peace.
At the same time, Gorbachev is telling us that that's what he cares to do. I noticed that our military budget, in the new budget that's just being proposed at this point, has increased considerably. And I thought we were supposed to be the peaceful people of the world. That's what our teachers told us.
You've been told a lot of things. And it is still a wonderful country. When I point out the negatives, please don't feel that we are degrading the country. The world is in terrible, terrible pain. You've got enemies. The darkness is at work. And plenty of fertile soil for it to grow. And that's why a city like this has to be built on the grounds, basically, of just good business. We don't come building communes. It doesn't work. We have to build and lead. And people will follow. For instance, they don't have to know necessarily except who is utilizing. Let me put it this way. If you have a helicopter and Eleanor comes to ride with you, Eleanor does not have to know how the blame thing works. Just you. And maybe you don't have to know how it works, as long as you know how to fly it. So everyone in the world does not have to know how that helicopter works, but somebody does.
And if it is good, and if it gives man joy, man will use it. And if it is well built, he will use it again and again and again. That's called capitalism in its purity. Man will come back to buy it because it is good. He may buy it the first time because it is novel. And it is just like those who sold ironing machines. The minute you had permanent press material, you didn't need the ironing machines. We keep them around now so that if you go through a period of tribulation and you're in a war and you're isolated, you can sterilize your bandages by running them through a mangle, your sheets that you might have to tear into strips. It is the best way to sterilize, is with that intense heat. But it sure wiped out the ironing business. People will sit and watch black and white if it's an inch screen or something unsophisticated. Now they demand color television. Or if it's black and white, that's fine. They'll put up with it. Doesn't mean they know a thing about television. But you will hardly ever find a family in this world, in this day and age, that can afford it, has seen it, and can get their hands on it. It will not have one. And there is not even, there is less than a tenth of 1% who even understands how a light wave can produce a picture. Only a tiny fraction of the population will even think about it. We will build. We will pay well. We will not need labor unions. We will be more than fair. We will overpay the worker who keeps your records. She is the one who can also kill you with the RS by botching it up. A hospital should pay their janitor more than they ever thought of paying their administrator. That's where disease is either stopped or spread. In the cleaning. You once practiced bad business. All you need is to practice good business, good discipline, allow ones to grow in their jobs. You're not going to have trouble. Costco markets do not have trouble. They start their cashier at $30,000 a year. Starting salary. They have no employee problems. They monitor themselves. And they have plenty of incentives. You're going to have a different kind of management structure. Everybody's going to be an officer. And that's so you can get officer loans instead of taking it in salaries. And then you don't have any income tax to pay. Just borrow and borrow and borrow. Perfectly legal. They'll get busy and they'll change the rules. We'll change too. We'll find their next loophole. You'll get just enough to keep them off your back. And that requires some good management in that area. So there will be no limit to the number of ones you will need. Not only will you have a helicopter flying service, but you'll be producing them. And that brings industry in. And And let us just say you're sitting out here on this little island. You're going to need to get back and forth, aren't you?
Which little island is this, Commander?
This is Cortajapi.
That's after the redistribution.
There will be a day when this is an island like you would perceive Catalina. It's quite a ways out there, but you're going to find something else happen. You think you're old? I laugh at you. You don't know what old is.
I may need a different embodiment in order to be active in some of that activity.
There's some of you who, too, are going to do your job, and you're going to want to make your transition. You're going to say, well, by golly, I did it, and I'm tired, and I want to go. Awful lot of you are going to want to stick around and enjoy this period of accomplishment. For the ones of you who don't wish to stick around and enjoy it, that's why the Allens and the Ricks. This is why the Elis and the Jasons and the little Jeremies and the Ryans, they will fly those intergalactic ships.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to take that a thought farther? If you're already building aircraft, guess where we're going to stop? Right where Hattani is. Right where Germaine is.
Commander, I read in a tabloid a week or so ago, I meant to bring it along, where apparently an interstellar spacecraft had crashed in Russia, and in the wreckage, they claim, was a 700-page maintenance manual for this craft that the Russian scientists say that they have in their possession, and that they will build a real interstellar spacecraft shortly. Can you comment on that at all?
Yes, and you ones will now get some good, credible confirmation. In December, a year ago, we were called upon by the Russians. You were about to have another situation such as Chernobyl. There has been already a second situation at that very place. As they play with their scalar beams, their particle beams, system. It fed back along itself at Chernobyl. That is the horror of that kind of experimenting. You have had a second one that has been controlled. You see, you cannot control it on Earth. Once it has begun to build its chain reaction, you have no way to control it. Your leaders know us. So in December, a year ago, they were trying to play with theirs, and it got out of control, and they called on us. And we came. Well, a ship in my command came. To get it back under control, to interfere with that energy chain reaction, requires that we get our craft into that energy space, and it wreaks havoc with our systems of control. It comes into our energy field. We have to get that close, depending on the severity of the chain reaction. So we lost the craft. And we lost 10. Well, actually, 9.5. One will never, ever recover. 9 were immediately killed. 3 of our crew were saved. They have, not only do they have that craft, but they were very, very grateful. And they did everything humanly possible to tend those crewmen. And they, in conjunction with some of our medical specialists, I guess you would say, worked with those men for several weeks until they were strong enough. And then they were transported back to the home planet. They have the craft. They have a lot of information. The same thing happened the second time. Just before your summit meeting, I believe they called it an explosive. It was a large explosion. I don't remember what your paper said. It was the same thing. They were trying to give you a little bit of a show of power. They were going to do some pretty remarkable beam studies, and it would be public, of course.
When you say they come out, who do you mean?
The Russians. Right now I'm speaking of Russians. Again, we sent a craft. This time the craft was also brought down. It crashed for all practical purposes, but it was more just damaged. We lost no crew members, and the crew itself was able to repair that craft and get it back into service. There was also information shared at that time. You can be sure that any information will not be in total. They know it, we know it, and your government knows it. The closest thing that you have had that would be similar, where we were deliberately called upon, was at Livermore. Once again, your accelerator in Mr. Teller's facilities. And as the capacitors began to blow and the transformers went, they knew they'd had it. They called on us. We did not have to get into the energy field to get that under control. You see, we're already standing by along the San Andreas. And I'm talking about acceleration at rates that are beyond anything you can think. But it was instant, the moment we were asked. These are the things that are terrifying to we in the universe. Out of control, it can destroy your planet. And that gives us a great deal of problem in the universe. If we're just going to put it on a practical level. Now for you ones, when I tell you about Pentek and Lauta, these are commanders, you're going to find that these ones are a little bit more sophisticated in many of the technologies than are the ones from Reticulum, but they're going to be very, very similar to the Reticulum ones. I tell you about these two energies because they will come into your conscious knowledge. They are small, 5 feet less around. They are barren-headed. They are large-eyed, and they are the ones that work in the quietness, infiltrate, if you will, your leadership. It will usually be under Andromeda Ray's guidance. I think you call him Andromeda Rex. This one is usually the one that will interrupt radio signals, for instance, at Vandenberg Air Force Base before we stop the missiles. Andromeda Rex spoke at long length with the ones at the command desk. And those ultimate decisions are made by the communications directors that always, always, this is for Allen, but always call in Cortana. Andromeda Ray will usually be the voice that will be heard. He would be the spokesman. And there is no playing around with it. He will tell it exactly how it will be. Always you once have a choice. But when he says it will not go, you better believe it will not go. The reason that you're having some relaxation, if you will, is the Russians know there is a power larger. They cannot fight us. The Americans will still flex muscles. The funny thing is I have sat in their meetings. We know each other. And yet you cannot afford to let your guard down. Because out of China will come your demise. They're getting desperate now. They're having famines. They're having changes in leadership. Hungry men will do anything.
Published in the paper the other day about the degree that they were going to have to just sort of push them aside and let them go.
In China?
Yeah.
I mean, starving?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
They don't have the food. They're sort of...
They've had tremendous drought.
Close drought. Your eyes and just let it happen.
I'm not aware of that.
Oh, you ones, precious ones, there's so much of which you're unaware. No matter even what you think your best news sources are, there's no way to get it all to you. But you see, all those years that they were hidden, they were building underground structures. They can house their population. They do more testing than you ones. We are in their skies all the time. We're very, very acceptable. They know we're there. And they dare so push it too far. But you see these missiles that are set up now in Saudi Arabia waiting until your bankers close down their system. They're going to fire those. And they have nuclear warheads. And they came out loudly proclaiming no nuclear warheads. Nuclear warheads had been removed. Always that's the clue. They are your long-range silkworm missiles that I told you of, and I said would come into your attention. I tell you these things will come into your attention because I want you to be aware when they do. You see, it has taken months, months, for one little item to come back into dormant consciousness. I told you once, the reason Star Wars is so unbelievably dangerous is that to thrust those beams that you must have a homing device aboard a missile in space. You have to build these beam systems close to your nuclear power plants to have enough power for the thrust of the beam itself. It has to have a receiving system for the beam to redirect it, and then it must have a nuclear device aboard to power the lasers that basically launch your nuclear powered warheads, the scatter bombs, the scatter
lasers. And she had to just say this while I talked it. Wally McPherson was bright enough and scientific enough to say, but you can't detonate easily an atomic bomb. Oh yes, we can. And so can yours. All you have to do is get the proper frequency and proper sequence, and it'll detonate every one of those little, what do you call them, safety devices? But that wasn't what did it. Burma says, oh, I don't know. I've never, you know, I can take your word for it. But a nuclear bomb type explosion aboard the missile? Come now, Hatton. You don't really expect me to say that. Yes, I did. And now it's going to come right out of your congressional hearing. Because ones in Washington are beginning to open their eyes. And the other night, she's sitting there watching some channel on power. The power of staff who got you into SDI on the words of two unrelated staff members and the President of the United States. And the statement came forth and shot the pants off of your security service. Your Joint Security Command, I believe, which are officers of your government. These were advisors. And it dumbfounded most of them. The ones of the scientific community said, number one, it could not be done in that period of time. Number two, that requires, get this, a nuclear bomb on board the missile. Now, when this comes to the attention of the senator or the congressman that is being complained to, he says, well, surely you don't mean a bomb. Yes, sir, I mean a hydrogen bomb. A bomb? Could we not call it, and quite frankly, it was so trivial that it slips Hatton's mind, a dispersing explosion or something, detonation, that wouldn't sound so bad at a congressional hearing and wouldn't shock the populace to know that you are planning to explode hydrogen bombs, quite frankly, out here in outer space. Well, you won't do it. You will not do it. Not if we catch it. We don't deal with these things much more in this room. We have city to build. Proposals to write. We outgrew that. I will sit and discuss these things, and as long as I see the wheels turning in your head, I will continue to discuss it. And we are monitored here. That's why I don't discuss it anymore until I know it's public. Actually, we're getting a lot of help from those young men who monitor this room. There are many, many things now that I want at some point, just as with Star Trek. Somebody is going to punch up on a computer and all of this will be there because you have been under surveillance since the beginning. And out are going to pop diagrams, descriptions, writings, truth. But you see, the monitors want to live.
even the Dark Brotherhood just wants to wreak havoc. It does not want the destruction of this planet. And there are energies on your place that would blow you away without batting an eye. Beware of the ones of the Far East and the Middle East, because their religious fanaticism has already trained them. It is better to die and make that transition. They never have forgotten the train of infinite life. So you can't threaten them with death of the human form. Every human will tremble in the face of death. That's why if you can catch the terrorist, you can terrify him about it. But when he goes out to do his job, he is so psyched up in your terms that death means nothing. It's honor. Better. It's only when he gets back into his human consciousness that it looks, it might not look so great. And that is a human trait, to wish to hang on to that existence. But that's why terrorism will not be stopped. It's part of the sorting. It will not be stopped. How can you stop it? You threaten death, hanging. If that's partial end to what you're trying to achieve for the betterment of your soul, and let me tell you, you're going on the basis of soul change into another dimension of light. The Dark Brotherhood has as many on this place or more, and they're waiting to get back into that dimension with their brothers on that side. You will never fight it and win. You will build better, and man will follow. It's your only prayer. And you look from one to the other and say, can't be done. We're just a few. Well, a few will gain a few. And a few more will gain a few more. And then as you are going, maybe it would be money that will draw. But when man sees light and hope, you will be overcome with want. Man is desperate. Man is dying of the need. He is searching. He is looking. You will have help. And yes, throughout the eons of time, at any given point in any civilization, there has always been one that can change a civilization. And you don't have to do it with one. I'm just telling you it can be done. That's so that you don't feel so bad when only four of you have to do it.
Yeah.
No, this is the promise of this particular time. Man, one, does not have to go to the cross alone. And you're not going to the cross, you're going into radiance.
Glad you qualified that.
Thank you. I'm glad you perceived my statement. Ours is not a trail of death, of either the body or the soul. It's a trail of life. Doesn't mean you're going to just walk out there and they're all going to hand it to you. You can be jolly well assured that life will be interesting. and as long as you accept it as simply interesting an experience, they will never get the better of you. And if nothing else comes from this dwelling, no matter how it ends, everyone who knows of this dwelling knows there was no reason for it to go this far. It has been a totally absurd set of circumstances that could only be controlled, and not by man. Man blunders, yes. I doubt he blunders 15 times on one document. It's a glorious, fun job. You once think you've reached retirement. You're not ready to die. And that's what retirement is. What retirement should be is finally reaching the point of doing what you love to do the very most. And if it's golf, go golf. You see, if it's reading, go read. But because they cast you out of your job and you're bored to death, because now they tell you you're too old and crippled, and you know why you get old and crippled? Because you believe them. There is one thing about it that I do not understand. Man will cling to the negative at all costs and cast us aside who promise life. That is an interesting phenomenon.
Is that only true here?
For the most part, on planets such as yours. Is that your question?
Yes.
No. That's another egotistical misbelief. The biggest egotistical belief is that there could not be other. Secondly, that you are special in some unique, remarkable way. There are not places big enough to hold all of the dark energies in the universe. And if God can create you, surely he can womp up a few more. The facts are, there are as many as God chooses. And when he chooses, he can bring every fragment home. And this is what is often misperceived. And this will be where the stones get cast first. Ah! Shirley MacLaine says, you're God. I'm God, she's God. Well, your Bible tells you you are, and everybody wants to quote that all the time. Truth in that book. And I'm not making light of it. But there's selective truth. Surely God really didn't mean that. Well, when he says he dwells within, and you are the temple of God, what does that mean? Almost any kind of distorted understanding says there is a fragment of God within. And when you hear fragment, that means a portion of the whole. And that means at some point there is only one source. And therefore all eventually goes back unto the one source. Therefore you are all one. And you are made up of God and a hunk of meat and metal and minerals and vitamins. No glory in that, is there? The glory is in the essence, that is God. The rest is a body to house, to be utilized as a tool, simply to house that gift, that essence, that gives you life and makes you you. And along with it, sometimes I think to play a trick on man and the universe, you choose free will. Well, you see, a lot of the other planets do not have the type of free will that you have. They have evolved to the point where they don't behave as you. So you've studied very closely the energies. Yes.
Is clinging to the negative a third dimensional phenomenon?
Yes, basically it is. Yes. The others have no need. You see, once you come into knowledge, you have no need to cling to it. And as you reach to the higher dimensions, you come into knowledge. That's all enlightenment is. That is all enlightenment is knowledge. By its sheer definition and the age of enlightenment, it is the coming into knowledge. I'm talking about real knowingness. Not an atomic age, not a mechanical age, not a Newton age. I'm talking about knowledge. And then you have no need for those other things. You go about your higher dimensional growth in a different way. But you're going to have a lot of third dimensional, what you're going to perceive as third dimensional creatures on many hundreds of thousands, millions of your planets. And your scientists know it.
I notice you frequently refer to humans as creatures. I think that's an interesting habit.
Well, I don't mean to be selective. I also consider myself a creature. Any life form, to me, to us, is a creature.
A creation.
Thank you. That's a better definition than I would have thought of. All is creation of God thought. But have we bored everyone now to the point we can listen to Germaine's Dharma? Would you join?
Yes, and we are time for a break, I think.
Then let me take my leave. I would like her to hear it.
Okay.
It's a little hard to always be on the spouting off edge. And I like to share when there are other ones that can and will. So be it.
Thank you.
With love and great, great appreciation for your coming and abiding with us a little while. It's not the most fun place to be. It is a place of instruction anymore. And we don't get to share the just, simple camaraderie that we did. But oh, it is glorious fun, isn't it? To see growth like this. To picture these buildings in their magnificence. It makes me proud as a teacher. Salud.
Salud.
Thank you. Blessings. Blessings. Oh.